Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Big time playmaker, right? And he's done it a couple times here versus the Colts. So that's what Nico does. He makes big time plays in that. In the moment when we needed it most, like, what a play. What an awesome catch for him to get down and bounce. It was really big time play.
I hope D'Amico's voice is permanently stuck like that. I wanted to make a transition.
What are you talking about?
He's obviously got a cold. He kind of jokingly, after his opening statement, where I think he was, I can't even remember who he was talking about, he kind of like fake punched his own throat.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. He acknowledged that he's got a little bit of something going on right off the bat. Just stay away from everybody else, D'Amico. Don't make any physical contact with people.
If he
kind of transitioned into like an older dude with a raspy voice, I would kind of like that.
Did he say he had something going on medically? Because he sounded fine when we did the Coach's Corner interview. I know he wasn't doing that literally before the game. He does it on Friday with Mark. This same thing happened to him in the preseason too. He lost his voice in a game.
It's probably just allergies or something. You know what happens to me? I get a little bit of post-nasal drip and all of a sudden I'm out for a week.
Yeah.
What happened? Does Seth have something scary? No, he's got a little bit of a trickle, and it's completely destroyed the one thing that matters for him in his profession.
His voice.
Certainly not his brain. Right. It's his actual voice.
Voice greater than brain, yeah.
Yeah, so D'Amico was either shouting a lot, or maybe he's got a little bit of allergies or something.
Well, there was plenty to shout at. I mean, it wasn't a perfect game. We'll get into that, but we got to touch on Nico here. We didn't hit on Nico much in the open, and I had the same thing going on you did, Seth, as I'm writing down the storylines from the game, like, ooh, the run game. Oh, Nick Caserio's acquisitions. You know, like, Stephon Diggs had two touchdowns. We haven't even talked about Diggs yet. He had two touchdowns. You know, all this stuff, all the storylines. They shut down Jonathan Taylor. I get to, like, the third or fourth one. I'm like, I haven't even mentioned Nico yet. Nico.
I know.
He's incredible.
It's almost like he's become enough of a fixture. It's like mentioning the moon or something. Like, oh, yeah, the moon is there or whatever. Yeah,
right.
It's always there, right? Except for, like, God takes it away for a couple nights a month. I don't know why. So I go to church extra to try to bring it back.
That's right.
That's how I know that my faith is real.
That's
how I am with Nico. He is the moon.
Yep.
So Nico, and honestly, that play when they're closing the game out to catch the ball on the sideline, there was just so much of the precision of C.J. Stroud and his receivers. And you look up, and it's funny because, I mean, even though the Colts did everything they could to take away the passing game, and there was nothing necessarily spectacular about that game, you look up and C.J. Stroud's one of only several quarterbacks in the league who had a passer rating over 100 yesterday.
Yeah.
He had 115.9 passer rating.
Dude, we're watching the game up here, and this is well into the second half, and we were all looking at each other going, It's you know, the Texans is one of the points in the game, and they're up by 9. And we're like, you know, this isn't bad considering CJ's had like a B-minus game for, you know, so far or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like,
because
there were a couple times where, you know, there were a couple times he got fortunate. You know, the one where he's trying to throw it away and the guy intercepts it in the heel. I think it was Juju Brents.
Just his heel, yeah.
His heel hit the, I mean, that was lucky, a little lucky. But you're absolutely right. Like, you realize after the game, because CJ was 24 of 32 for 234 yards, no interceptions, threw the two short touchdowns to Diggs, passer rating of over 115. Like, you look at the box score, you go, this is a great day. And you watch it with your own eyes, and you go, this is a really good day. But you start to realize, we're going to get into Nico, but with CJ, you start to realize, like, he's not being held to the quarterback standard now. He's being held to the CJ standard. Like, he's... The expectations for him, that this is like a normal, like, this is just an average game for C.J. Stroud, you know?
And honestly, this was a really good game to have right off the bat, because you're going to face teams like this where the Colts look at, I'm guessing, their front seven is the strength of their defense, a little less certain about the back end. So they face a team like the Texans, and they're going to say, all right, well, let's try to take care of the run with the guys up front, and we'll sit back and play coverage and try not to allow anything deep. So the challenge for a quarterback, especially one who's wired like C.J. Stroud, where you want to push the ball deep, the challenge is, all right, I'm just going to have to sit and dink and dunk and hand the ball off. And C.J. knows this intellectually, but it's a different thing to play it out in real time.
Sure.
You know, and really feel it and know what it's like. It's like being financially responsible with your investments during a recession. Like, you know what you're supposed to do.
Right.
You're not supposed to panic But it's really, really hard
but
to do my
neighbor,
in the moment.
My neighbor gave me this pamphlet, and this looks like a really good way to get my money back.
I'm going to get rid of all these super solid stocks that are down for the moment because I got to get out of this hole. So that I think that was a good challenge for them to face. But then even in doing all that, it's exactly how you would have predicted it before the season. In any given game, you can't figure out which wide receiver is going to go off.
Yeah.
And yesterday it was Nico Collins, you know, with 6 receptions, but also just by virtue of the one huge play that gives him 117 yards. But Stephon Diggs has 6 receptions, but 2 touchdowns.
The 2 touchdowns.
And, you know, Tank Dell has 3 receptions, but also a very impressive run. It's going to be like that.
Yeah.
Next week it might be Stephon Diggs. Next week it might be Tank Dell that goes
100%.
Off. 100%.
In a game where C.J. Stroud had, I'll say, just 234 yards passing, because that's below his average. Everybody that seemed to matter on that offense ate. You know, like the 3 big receivers all did something to affect winning in that game. Nobody more than Nico Collins. So this is what I love about this Nico Collins thing, Seth. The last 2 regular season games the Texans have played, yesterday and week 18, have both been at Lucas Oil Field. And Nico Collins has gone off in both of them. And I love that Colts fans are getting a dose of what we got with T.Y. Hilton for a decade, which was, this guy is going to get $1.50 somehow or some way, it feels like, every single time. And if you recall, 2023, just to refresh everybody's memory, week 18, must-have game for the Texans and the Colts. Nico went 9 catches, 195 yards, and a touchdown. And that was without Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell out on the field like yesterday was. That was Nico as the sole weapon out there, really. No Joe Mixon either in that game. Yeah. Like, it was Nico, and he had the big touchdown to open the game for 75 yards. He had the 29-yard catch and run late in the second quarter where he trucked the same guy twice at the end of it to set up a touchdown. He had the catch on 2nd and 14 where he just came out of nowhere. Looked like CJ's throwing the ball away, came out of nowhere. Clearly broke the spirit of the Colts, as we've heard on the Trenches podcast. That 2nd and 14, they hated that. So that was last season. Same thing this season, man. Like, Nico had plays where you're going, damn, like, there aren't many receivers that can make these kind of plays. Let's relive a little bit of the magic here. This was the one, you pointed it out, Seth, 55-yard catch. There are not many guys that go up and make this grab on a C.J. Stroud deep ball.
C.J. looking. C.J. guns long down the left side. Nico Collins down there, and he's got the catch inside the 15, down to the 12. Double coverage. Doesn't matter. Big play to Collins.
We knew we had to take a shot. You know, we started out kind of slow on the offensive end, you know, so I feel like for us, man, we just had to make a play. And Seven, he trusted in me, and my job was just run. And I ran, man, just licked the ball in the air to go make a play for the team, and that's what I did.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a great feeling, you know, just continue to build, work on me, and continue to make plays.
That was Nico. Nico was on the post game with us yesterday. So we
We
had him take us. We had him take us through each of the 3 catches that we're playing here. So we'll get a little director's cut. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah.
What'd you think of that one? What'd you think of that 55-yard one right there?
I was happy about that.
Yeah, me too.
I think that, again, you know, it was one of those things. It's really well placed ball for where it ended up. I don't know exactly. You know, like the between the turf and whatever else going on, I think that CJ maybe lacked a little extra oomph on exact, but for where, if you're going to make a throw in a contested catch, that's where exactly it had to be for Nico to go up and get it. And we've seen this now. I mean, Nico he's T.Y. Hilton. As T.Y. Hilton was to the Texans, now Nico Collins is to the Colts. There's something in him. Remember those runs last year? It was the run after the catch last year in the Colts games where you could see, oh, he wants to hurt people. He was hitting people. He could have gotten flagged for a late hit out of bounds as a wide receiver last year. Yeah. As the offensive player last year in the playoffs. Or excuse me, the play-in game.
Yeah.
And I think there is just that. There's 100%, I'm convinced of it. There's something about Nico versus the Colts. He just wants to take their souls.
He laughed. That was the first thing I led with the interview. I'm like, you kind of like that place, huh? And he just started cackling. So that was a 55-yard catch, set up a touchdown. This was a big one, too. This was 3rd and 14, and this was the drive that ended with the Mixon touchdown to make it 22-13. CJ gets flushed out of the pocket. CJ goes running backwards, kind of Case Keenum style a little bit, then starts rolling out to his right. Turned out to be the right thing to do. And Nico just found a little soft spot, and CJ does one of those, no, 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 oh, okay, good throw kind of things right here.
Here's the snap. Does CJ have time? A bit. Now he's flushed out to the right. Stroud scrambling, looking for somebody to get open, throws back across his body, and he hits Nico Collins, who dives down to the 36-yard line. First down, just like last year.
We work on those tight plays, you know, in practice. You know, just never know. You know, play break down like it did. You know, just scrimmage drill. You know, just find an open hole. You know, with seven, you know, got the ball in his hands. You know, amazing things happen. You know, so he found him in the soft spot in the zone. You know, and had to move the sticks. You know, so that was a big play. You know, he trusted me and found the right spot in the zone, man, and made the play for the squat.
You know, watching the Friday night game, the Packers versus the Eagles, there were a couple times in that game, and I can't remember which quarterback it was, but Todd Blackledge was, you know, criticizing the quarterback for throwing over the middle late in the down. And I'm kind of like, all right, Todd, you sound a little old here, because there are a few quarterbacks in the league right now that are actually really good at that, and C.J. Stroud is one of them. As a Texans fan, I sat there and I watched. I was like, maybe it's a bad decision if you're Jalen Hurts or what have you, but C.J. did it twice yesterday. Yeah. I mean, he did it to Tank Dell. He did it to Nico Collins, where he threw across his body. The one to Tank Dell was kind of like a no-look almost.
Yep.
Back over the middle, across his body, late in the down, he's just got a really good feel on the scramble drill with those guys. This is where all the off-season work and the communication really comes into play.
Yep.
Because he's done this multiple times. He's done it versus the Colts, especially, multiple times.
We love that. All right, so that was a 3rd and 14 catch, set up the Joe Mixon touchdown. Last one, you've touched on it, Seth. This didn't literally clinch the game. Mixon's run that we heard in the open did, but this one kept the drive alive that ended up clinching the game. This is a 3rd and 11, just after a 3rd and 6, which Kenyon Green gets a false start, and now it's 3rd and 11. So it was 3rd and 6, Kenyon Green false start. Now it's 3rd and 11, the place is going bonkers. This place is going nuts. We're going to get the ball back, and we're going to go down and get a field goal and win this game. That's what all those yokels from Indianapolis thought was going to happen. C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins said, not on our watch.
Crowd deafening. Here's the snap. C.J. looking, firing right sideline, and Nico Collins with the catch. He gets the feet down for a first down at the 41-yard line.
Another bad spot, Mark. The spot is tricky. It's right at the 40.
You got to look at this.
Which is exactly where they needed to get to, and they may measure this.
Well, they didn't measure it, but they did review it to see if Nico caught it. And Seth, as you pointed out before, the knee was obviously down. I was worried about the same thing you were. Were they going to get really, really technical with, was the ball moving? Did he have, because the ball touched the ground.
Yeah.
But Nico, they ruled correctly that he had control of it. Here's Nico afterwards. I asked him after the game when he was on with us in the post game, did you know right away, as you were going to the ground, that it was a catch?
It was a catch. I knew it was a catch. And I felt my knee and my toe. I directed, you know, and I controlled it all the way down. You know, so I already knew it was a catch. You know, I didn't want to waste no time with the review. You know, so, but they showed it on the big screen. I was like, yeah, I know it's a catch. So let's go.
Pointing at the big screen.
Sometimes the actual participant in the play, as we know from baseball, is actually the worst judge of whether
yes,
it was or wasn't.
True.
You know, I don't know. I don't always trust. I trust that he's saying what he believes, but you never know for sure. That was great. I mean, we've just seen that so many times now. These throws and catches on the sideline between C.J. Stroud and either Nico Collins and Tank Dell that are just unbelievably precise. And they don't even necessarily make the highlight reels if people aren't going back and really watching and seeing how incredible they are. That was really good. Speaking of spots, it's so annoying. They got to change this rule. When the quarterback dives, they treat it like a slide.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know people wanted D'Amico to review that spot early in the game. That it's an annoying rule that they do for quarterback safety. They don't want quarterbacks diving forward. It makes sense, I guess, because you're trying to protect your most valuable asset, but it really, really sucks when you see it play out.
I guess. Man, Vandy was great on that call, the 3rd and 11. I didn't notice it, but the first time where he just at the beginning he goes, crowd is deafening. Like that, like that's, you could hear it. Like that just, that's a good job, man. Like just kind of setting, not just describing what you're seeing on the field, but like setting the stage for how it feels in the building there.
You know? I thought, who knows? Vandermeer, after those couple years of the Jack Easterby, Lovey Smith, Lovey was fine. He was a perfect, Lovey should have been hired instead of David Culley if he had to have a bridge coach. But I worried that maybe Vandermeer would get depressed and just ask somebody to put him out on an iceberg to drift off and die or something. But he sounds rejuvenated.
He's better than ever, now, man.
He wants to kill every Viking in the village and take power and control for himself.
Yeah, he's better than ever, man. Vandy's on it. All right, headlines. We will obviously dig into the Texans here. Big day yesterday, man. First place Houston Texans in the AFC South 1 week in. Everybody else loses in the division, so that was good to see. We've not touched on the Astros yet. Overall, a good weekend, but boy, this Verlander thing, we got to talk about this. That was rough last night, and all kinds of stuff going on in the NFL. We'll get to all of it in headlines coming up next.